Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad to visit with you again wherever you are in the world. And in Cleveland, Ohio, where we have it very cold and it's snowing out, it's been snowing out there, and the Lord said He'd give us different seasons, and so He's doing what He said. And I have a cold today, and so I'm glad Brother Al is here, and if I start to cough, well, he'll take care of it. But it's just a normal thing, I guess. And I'm glad also we have Marvin Bassinger with us, and he picked me up today in his beautiful truck and brought me here. And he's smiling, and he's all happy and so on. But our program is Where is God's Word? And we believe that God has spoken us to us today, and He has spoken to us in the Authorized King James Bible. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 59, 20 and 21, it says, "This is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed, from this generation forever." And there he's talking to Israel, who would have the true text. And in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament of the King James Bible, it's based on the text that Israel has had down through the ages, the preserved text, the preserved Word of God. Now, some of the modern ones have people like Kittle have changed that text, but this is the text that goes back to Christ. You know, some people today are teaching that the Lord was using what is called the Septuagint. And I'm not going to go into that today, but it's very simple. He wasn't. He was using the Hebrew text. And I'll tell you why. Because he says, "Not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till it's all fulfilled." Well, in the Septuagint, it's based on the Greek Greek text, and the Greek letters don't have jots and tittles, but Hebrew letters have jots and tittles. So we know when he said jots and tittles would not pass, he was talking about the Hebrew text that has come down to us, which is used in the Authorized King James Bible. But we're going to start out today, and we are dividing our program into different segments, and one of the segments we talk about a little bit of prophecy every time, and we know that the Bible is true because of prophecy. God knows the future. He knows every detail of it, and He predicts what will happen in the future. And so we can see that we're coming into that time, and as God, He brought the Jews out of Egypt by His power and His great might, and took them through the desert and brought them into the promised land. He said, "If you turn away from me to other gods," he said, "I'll scatter you to the whole world." And so they were scattered to the whole world, but over and over, all through the Bible, he said, "I'll bring you back." And so right in front of our eyes, they have been making aliyah, and they have been going back to the land. And even some that are not even strong believers in God, or they don't know what it's all about, they have the urge to go back. Why? Because God said He'd bring them back. And so today there's somewhere between 4 and 6 million Jewish people in Israel. And by the way, I thank the Lord we have some people listening from Israel. We know because when you check our website, which we have, we find out where everybody's coming from. And we have a good number of listeners now from Israel, and I'm happy about that. And so, you know what I'm talking about, website. Why don't you give that, Brother Davis?
Oh, absolutely. And thank you, Bruce, for allowing me to help you out here today. And you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And that'll bring you to the website. And when you go there, there's a variety of things. There's some information about Bruce Musselman, as well as some video of him preaching and even singing on there, and some links to some materials there at whereisgodsword.com. And there's also a link to a series, series of six CDs that Bruce has on the Bible and prophecy. If you like his teaching, this has the Bible and prophecy on these six CDs. They're titled Christ and the Antichrist in Prophecy, the Antichrist government in prophecy, Roman Catholic Church in prophecy, Israel in prophecy, the King James Bible in prophecy, and Christ and Israel in prophecy. And you can find out information about ordering that there at whereisgodsword.com. Or if you'd like to get it, Bruce, you want me to give out your address for that?
Yes, sure.
All right. $30 is a suggested amount. Bruce Musselman at P.O. Box, 609-238. That's P.O. Box 609-238. Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. That's Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. And you can make a check out to Bruce Musselman for $30. And that would cover shipping and handling anywhere in the United States or Canada. If you're outside the United States and Canada, you might want to add a little more, $5, let's say $35 U.S. dollars to get that. And that'll cover Bruce sending that to you. But that's a Bible and prophecy series. And like I said, encourage you, if you can, check out the website there and learn a bit more about Bruce Musselman and his ministry.
Thank you very much. And also, we have a series of six CDs on the history of biblical Christianity. And I find this very interesting because from the time of Christ all the way to the present, there's been Bible believers that had the true text of the Word of God, the text, same text that is used in the King James, only it's in other languages. But they had the true text, and they've been there right from the time of Christ and the apostles. And that's one of the reasons we have this program, because they're using another text. They're using a corrupt text for many of the modern versions. And so we have the history of it. And when you look into some of the people that were born-again believers, scientists, presidents, like George Washington was a Bible-believing Christian, and I have his prayers that show beyond a shadow of a doubt he was a strong believer in Christ. And Sam Houston, the founder of Texas, and then we go way back. We go back to the different churches that were Bible-believing churches, right from Christ all the way to the present. We have it in six CDs of about 45 to 50 minutes apiece, and you can listen to that as you're driving along, and you learn something about it, because what we teach today, and we believe that the Bible text we use, it was used in other languages, and it goes right back to the apostles. We can trace it back to the apostles, and we can tell you who is using it all the way back. And today, for instance, in the libraries in Europe, we have there's about 300 at the last count of these ancient Bibles that line right up with the King James. Now, it's in different languages, but still, it's the same basic text that is given in different languages. And so, Jesus, the thing that we're talking about here is so important, because Jesus said, man shall live not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. God is very concerned about the words that he has given us. And he has said that he would give us every word. And our spiritual life is based on that. And that's why we believe that the King James Bible is, every word of it is the word of God and comes from the Lord. And that's what this program is all about. Every scripture verse that talks about the word of God points like a laser beam right to the King James. For instance, it says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. Now, it says the Bible is written so that we believe Jesus is the Son of God. And the modern ones in Luke 2:33 say that he's the son of Joseph. See, so that's just a beginning. Most of the modern versions, like the New International Version, the Revised Standard Version, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and so on, they throw out Jesus' name 100 times in the New Testament. And we have the papers to prove it. You can check it out for yourself. Now, I think one of the things that there's an interest in this program, we're giving out information that you just don't get a lot of places, and you will not get it in the Book of the Year bookstores. They don't want you to know this information, and that's why we have it here. And we talk about books that you can get that uphold the King James Bible, and there's a lot of them, but you won't find them in the typical bookstore. And so because you won't find them, we'll talk about them here. We call this equal time, because it seems like even today, turn on a Christian program on television and somebody's correcting the Bible, the King James Bible. And we don't believe in that. We don't even believe they know what they're talking about. There's many dictionaries and by different people that give different meanings of Greek words. There's many different Greek texts. And there's one text that has come down to us. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some prophecy that God has given us, because we divide this up, and Brother Al's going to talk about some science in the Bible, and we're talking about prophecy before we get to the defense of the King James Bible in the Word of God. But in the book of Zechariah, it says this. It says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 6, "In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem." Now, in that period of time, now we see that although the Jewish people lost all the wars that they fought for about 1,900 years, they come back to the land. And we've mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating over and over again. They fight, I don't know how many wars now, six wars or something. And every war, they win, even though they're outnumbered maybe 100-1. And you know why they win? Because God Almighty is showing who is God. And it's the Lord God Jehovah, and another name for him is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is showing that he has the power today. Now, the very fact that they're winning these wars, it's not the United States. We didn't do too well in some of our recent wars, but Israel, it was just like a knife through butter. Why? Because God is showing that he is the power. He is the king. "The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Now we see in the UN that the world in most cases is uniting against Israel. And one day the Bible says that they will not only unite against Israel in the UN, but they will come against them with their armies. And at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ will show up, and he will show who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the rightful owner of this planet, because Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And he will show that he is the owner of this planet, and he has the last say, and he will have the last say. And today, the Bible talks about the world government being set up in opposition to God. But even though it's being set up in opposition to God, we don't have to be afraid, because it is the beginning of the government that Jesus will take over. And God is laughing at them, because the very idea that they can do anything against the creator of this universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace." Now, the spirit of grace, that's the Holy Spirit. And grace means that God offers salvation as a free gift to all of us. And his Holy Spirit is speaking to you and to me and telling us that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And when we are willing to repent from our sins, we're willing to turn from our attitude of rebellion, basically, in our rejection of God, to receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God's grace will be on us, and we will be forgiven of all of our sins, and eventually God will adopt us into his family. Isn't that wonderful? We can be a member of the family of God, and God will meet God with great joy. So it says, "I'll pour upon the house of David the spirit of Jerusalem," it says, "the grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Now, it was in Jerusalem Jesus was pierced by the Romans, and yet many of the Jewish leaders, but not all the people, they rejected Christ, and through their rejection, Jesus was crucified. He was pierced. And yet this passage says that it was Almighty God that was pierced. God is speaking here. And it says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Why? Jesus left from the Mount of Olives bodily and physically after he bodily and physically rose from the dead. And he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. And he is going to appear to the Jewish people. And they're going to see the prints of the nails in his hands. And when he died as the final sacrifice for all of our sins. And I know in some religion it says that when you die with the angels, they're going to beat you for your sin. Thank God, when we die, Jesus was already beaten. He was God, and he came in a human body, but he was beaten for all of our sins. He was punished for every sin that we ever did. And so it says, every saved person that has put their faith in Christ, God's grace is upon them. And it says that because of God's grace, it says, we will meet him with great joy. He is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, wonderful joy, great joy. Why? Because there will be no record that we have ever sinned. And we will meet God in the most wonderful joy that we can possibly imagine. So it says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This is in the Tanakh, and this is Zechariah speaking in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Why? When the nation of Israel sees Jesus, they'll recognize that he is the one that the majority have rejected all these years, and because of that, they have gone through the tribulation and suffering, and they'll realize that he is the one that was their Messiah. But not only that, just as the great high priest on Yom Kippur went into the temple with the blood of a goat and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, and when he came out, that meant that the sacrifice was accepted. And it pictures our Lord Jesus Christ on the great day of atonement. He went into heaven, and there he sprinkled his own blood. And it's saying his blood is there as a demonstration and as a proof that our sins have all been paid for, and the sins of Israel have been paid for. And when the high priest came out of the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, it meant that God accepted the sacrifice of the great high priest that went into Jerusalem, into the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus comes out of heaven, that is a sign to all Israel and to the world that God has accepted his sacrifice for us as a payment for all our sin. If there is anything more wonderful and more beautiful and more tremendous than that, I don't know what it is. I never read it, never heard about it. And that means that Jesus Christ, when he comes back out of heaven, which he will do, that means he's come out and all of our sins have been paid for. In that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon, the Valley of Megiddo. What's the mourning about? Well, it's on the Day of Atonement. And they will realize as a nation that Jesus was their Messiah. Jesus was the one that came to die for their sins. That Jesus was the one that loved them. That Jesus is the one that said that they would be an everlasting nation and he would bring in eternal peace to them. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart and their wives apart, the family of Simeon apart and their wives apart, all the families that remain of family apart and their wives apart. In that day shall there be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And there's a song that we sing in the churches of Jesus Christ around the world. And it says, there is a fountain filled with blood. That's the fountain for sin. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath this flood, lose all their guilty stains. And in the Old Testament, when they sinned, they had to kill an animal, and it had to be a perfect animal. And they would kill that animal, and they would put their hands on it, and they would confess their sins, and their sins would be covered. That is, an atonement means a covering for another year. But when Jesus came, when he died, he not only covered our sins, he paid for them all. And the saints in the Old Testament, they're in paradise. That's not the city of God. That's not the gold city. That's not heaven. But when Jesus died on the cross, they were taken into heaven. And everyone that has put their faith in him at that moment of death, they immediately are in heaven with Jesus Christ, more alive than they've ever been. Well, that's our prophecy for today. And Pastor Davis, would you give your message on science, okay?
All right. And also, we're going to have phone lines open up in the second half of the program. You want me to give those numbers out right now?
Yeah, you could give that out now. They can start calling.
Yeah, and that way, after our break, which will be coming up shortly, we'll have the phone lines open. You can call at locally 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933, or you can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question or comment for Bruce Musselman regarding the subject today, he'd love to take your calls here. So, like I said, the phone lines are open, but we'll be taking calls after the break here coming up. But Bruce wanted me to share a little bit about some of the amazing scientific statements that are in the Bible. Today, it just seems like people want to claim that the Bible is foolishness, it's myths, it's fairy tales. But I'm amazed at how many things are in the Bible that really could not have been known necessarily at the time it was written or weren't known. And we've talked in the past about the air circulation in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6, where it talks about how the air circulates. God purifies the air for us and oxygenates it through that air circulation running in a continual circuit from the north to the south. But the next verse in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7, talks about how God purifies our water for us. And it says, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. I remember when I was studying the water cycle in college, we were going through this, and they were talking about how over time people developed an understanding of the water cycle. And certainly in 1600s, the King James translators couldn't have put this in because they didn't understand it. And certainly Solomon would not have had that knowledge available to him, but God gave it to him. What happens is the waters evaporate from the oceans and the lakes, and it gets circulated around by that air that God had provided a means for circulating the air in verse 6. And as the air circulates, it comes up against the mountains and it goes across the lands and the continents, and the rain comes down out of the clouds and it lands on the ground and it runs down the trees, the plants, and everything absorb that water. And it runs into the rivers and eventually into the streams and into the oceans. And it picks up salts and minerals and impurities and pollutants along the way. And again, when it gets into the oceans and the lakes, it evaporates. And in the process of evaporating, that water's purified. And it's just pure water that circulates on the winds. And then the rain comes down and rains pure water that's necessary for life of plants and animals as well as people and everything that we have. And God has a way, a miraculous way, of circulating that water constantly, purifying it and circulating it so that we can enjoy that free, clean water that God provides for us.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. And Brother Davis, would you... could make an announcement about your church and your radio program also. And
yeah, sure. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express there, and we have a radio program, actually two radio programs, every Friday afternoon from 1:30 till 2 o'clock every Friday afternoon, and then every Sunday night from 11 until midnight right here on AM 1220, WHKW Radio. And we do that as a call-in program with people's questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And like I said, we do that live every Friday afternoon from 1:30 till 2 and every Sunday night from 11 until midnight. And if you get a chance to listen, we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to have you call us with your questions.
Thank you very much. Now, one of the things in this program, we want to give out and talk about books that support the King James Bible as the Word of God. Now, we believe it is the Word of God. God gave it to us in English, and it's been translated into many different languages also. But the problem is some, even in the second century, these people called Gnostics, they made up a bunch of fairy tale books, fictitious Life of Christ books and so on. And also they corrupted the very words in the scripture. And it's called, the corrupt text is called the Alexandrian text. And that's what the basis of the modern versions are. It's less than 1% of the manuscripts. And the authorized King James Bible, they use the text that's come down to us from the apostles. It's basically over 99% of the ancient manuscripts and the readings from the church fathers. And so this is such an important subject. It is the Word of God, and we have to, today on the radio, once again, there's so many people on there that are correcting the King James. And they'll say it's the Word of God and then correct it. I want to ask you, Pastor, what do you think about that? If they say it's the Word of God and correct it, are they correcting God?
Well, I would think that they're setting themselves up above God because they're saying God made a mistake. And if it's the Word of God, then there wouldn't be a mistake. It wouldn't need to be created.
Yeah, it's amazing. They hold up a King James Bible and say, "We stand on the Word of God," yell it out. You know, and a few minutes later, the Greek says, better reading is, it's unfortunate translation. All that stuff. Well, if it's the Word of God. And, you know, the thing is, they're so dogmatic about it, they don't even tell you what text they're using. There's, I think Schaff said there's about 666 texts, different Greek texts. There's all kinds of lexicons, at least a couple dozen Greek texts floating around. There's lexicons, that's a Greek-English dictionary. There's a bunch of them floating around and put out by people that aren't, we would have to say from a biblical standpoint, heathens. That is somebody that doesn't believe in the Word of God and believe in Jesus Christ. And they have stated it. For instance, let's take Strong, for instance. You know, it's interesting. It's okay to use that to find things in the Bible, but you can't trust his definitions because Mr. Strong was on a committee that put out the ASV, and he told, on that committee, they told their belief. The blind man was worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and they put a footnote there. This is the worship given to the creature and not the creator. Isn't that something? They give their confession. They don't believe Jesus is the creator. In other words, they don't believe Jesus is God.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I went to a fundamental Bible school when I was, that's about 50 years ago. And they were saying, well, the King James is beautiful language and so on, but the ASV is more accurate. Well, it wasn't more accurate by a long shot. It's based on a handful of corrupt manuscripts. And these guys told you right there in the footnote, they don't believe Jesus is God and he's the creator. And the Bible teaches that from cover to cover, see? And so that's why we're there and we're here. And we want to talk about books that will be helpful. Now, I'm just reading a book right now. It's called Why We Hold to the King James Bible by David Cloud. And it's published by Way of Life Literature. And this is found in P.O. Box 610368. P.O. Box 610368, Port Huron, Michigan. 48061, Port Huron, Michigan. And they have a toll-free call if you want to call them. And they have a number of books on this subject. And these people read the other side. Every time you read one of these books, you're reading by people that know what they're talking about and read all the critics' books. And he has done just that. Now, here's a phone number. It is toll-free, 866-295-4143. Let me say that again just so you get it down, 866-295-4143. And you can call in there, and you'll get information. He has a number of books, okay?
Yeah, you can also go online, wayoflife.org. That's wayoflife.org, and you'll find that as well.
Okay, thank you very much. And so I'm reading. It's easy reading. It's not real long, and it has a lot of interesting material in it. And that's what we want to do is get this information out, which you will not find your bookstore, and a lot of times even in a seminary. Now, we have announcement to be made. Okay.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I just want to offer a solution, maybe a politically correct compromise to the In God We Trust issue on our money.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we should change that to In This God We Trust.
Well, look, I'd like to keep the national motto in place and without a problem. Remember, it was passed in 1956. The Cold War was in full swing, and the issue, of course, with the Cold War was the difference that the communistic regime believed that the government gives rights and could take them away, and we believed in a transcendent truth. Our founding generation believed in a transcending truth, that there was something greater. That came from the Creator, the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that government's job was to protect them and could not take them away.
For news and information on critical issues, visit the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey, let me ask you, have you been a little anxious lately, given to worry, panic? Are you not quite sure that God has it all in control? Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Then listen to this great verse from the book of Daniel. All the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing. God does according to his will in the inhabitants of the earth, the host of heaven, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What are you doing?" There's nothing out of God's hand. That includes your deepest frustration, the greatest anxiety on your heart right now. Just because we may not understand how God is working doesn't mean that God is not at work.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Okay, we're back, and during the break, we were just talking to Brother Davis, and he was saying he gave this book by Stauffer out, and I've just about through the book. And I would like you to, do you have his address too when we talk about him?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a gentleman in my church, actually, not me, actually loaned a copy of Doug Stauffer's book, and Douglas Stauffer has some great materials on the King James Bible. And again, you can find these things at the website whereisgodsword.com. But One Book, One Authority is the book that he's got right now. And before that, there was One Book, Stands Alone, which I believe he's reprinting. Both of those are excellent books. I've read both of them. And you can find them at either BibleDug.com or let's see here. I had the address here in just a moment. BibleDug.com. You can find that One Book, One Authority and some other materials that he has in the King James Bible. Or you can telephone 334-221-1611. That's 334-221-1611. And the address is BibleDug.com, 6612 Hickory Way Lane. That's 6612 Hickory Way Lane, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37918. That's Knoxville, Tennessee, 37918. And again, just point out, Bruce doesn't get anything for recommending these books. They don't support the program or nothing. He's just trying to get this information into the hands of people. And as one gentleman in our church loaned a copy of the book, One Book Stands Alone, to a pastor near where he lives. And he explained it to him. And I don't know the guy really wanted to look at it, but he did it being polite at least. And then when he gave it back, he said the book was divisive, and he felt belittled or something by it, because the book talked about how an average person that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior can understand the Bible. You don't need a PhD. And in one of the emails after he looked at the book, he made sure he put that he had a PhD on there to say he didn't need to read this book because he has a PhD. And I said, he's got his fool's degree on there. But I have nothing against a PhD, by the way. But when your PhD stands between you and God, it's a fool's degree.
That's right. And I'm glad you said that. You know, the problem, one of the things that, promote false teaching and doctrine is this, that the devil is called the king of pride. And if a person is proud, if the devil can control their thinking, you find a proud person and that they're controlled by Satan. That's how, that's his spirit. The Holy Spirit, he doesn't lead a person to be proud. He leads a person to humility and recognizing that whatever we have is God. When somebody gets proud, and he, these modern versions and so on are promoted by pride, and that's the spirit of Satan. We invite anybody to check any of these books and that we recommend and check it out for yourself and do the research. You know, when I was in school years ago, they said, well, the King James is good for its day, and they said, but a lot of people recommend the new ASV. So I was going to, I followed that and I was going to start using it. But over the time, I believe God led me away from that and led me to the truth. And I tried to do research. I was reading every book on the subject I could read by everybody I could get my hands on. And so, but I analyzed them from the point of view of what God's word says. And I remember going to a seminary where I asked the head of the Greek department, I asked him, I said, would you give me some paper, something about this textual history? And the first thing, the paper he gave, it said on that paper, said, God, nowhere did God say he was preserve his words. And I never remembered anybody telling me that, but as soon as I read that, all these scripture verses that I read just popped right into my head, and I thought, wow, God did say he'd preserve his words. And so that's very important. You want to say something?
Okay. We have two telephone calls coming in.
So okay, good. That's
catch them.
That's good. You can call in now. And
right. And again, the telephone number is locally 216-901-0933 or toll-free 888-677-9673. And Grover's our first caller today, Bruce.
Okay, Grover, you're on the air.
How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, I'm going to ask two indirect questions, and I want your intake. This is for you and Brother Al, and then I'm going to get off and listen. All right, a certain person at your church, I promised him I wouldn't mention his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, listen, let me say this. We're talking again about the Bible, you know, so I'm not going to get into other subjects. Just to let you know, for everybody.
It's about the Bible.
Yes.
The New Living Bible. And, see, you know that John and I at the church are completely the same Bible, the King James, that you use. I would like you and Al to give, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to get off. What's your intake on the Living Bible and the New King James? I want you to give me your intake on the New Living Bible and the New King James. So I'm going to let y'all answer the question. I'm going to get off and listen, okay?
Okay, that's a good question, and so thank you for calling. And if you, even if you disagree, as long as you're nice, you know, we're going to talk like gentlemen here today on the program. But the Living Bible still is used. It's used on the modern text that comes down from the Gnostics, the 1%. And so then the New King James, that's not the same as the King James. And one of the things they got a hang up on is they've taken out the blood of Christ in a number of places. I'm going to let Brother Al talk about this too. Whatever you want to say on it, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember one time years ago, Dr. Bruce Cummins, who's with the Lord now, he founded the Massillon Baptist Temple, Massillon Christian School, Massillon Baptist College, all down there in Massillon, Ohio. And he was actually given one of the advanced copies of the New King James. They were trying to get him to read it to endorse it. That's what they thought he would do, because his church was a large church, well-known church, and his school, well-known school, it's still a very excellent school, Massillon Baptist College, and they were hoping that this King James-only church and school would endorse the New King James Bible, and he read it, and he certainly could not endorse it, because right in the very beginning, it said that it wasn't a revision of the King James or an updating of the language like they tried to imply, but that it was actually based on the eclectic text, not the received text. And so he had to reject it along with the other modern versions.
They don't take out the names of Jesus as much as the other ones do. I noticed that. But still, they take out the blood in a number of places. And also, the Old Testament text is the Hebrew Masoretic text has been edited by some guy named Kittle. And Kittle, I think maybe that was the son of Kittle, but he wrote this theological dictionary, and I suppose they used that to correct the King James. And he was at the same time putting out propaganda for Adolf Hitler, and he nearly got himself hung after World War II. You see, so many times the people that are writing these lexicons or Greek-English dictionaries or putting these fictitious texts together, they're unbelievers. I mean, they don't even believe Jesus Christ is God. And if you're on here and that sounds new to you, it says, feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his blood. The Bible teaches Jesus is God all the way through. So it's the blood of God that was shed for our sins. And that's the only thing that was an effective payment for our sin. And so that's why we have this program. You know, I want to read something here.
We have one more caller as well.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, we have Christine calling in as well, Bruce.
All right, Christine, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question, okay?
All right.
Excuse me. You know, there's a lot of books out there, you know, that people write from Christian companies. You could get a lot of different books. Do you feel comfortable? Would you give somebody a book that's... you know, inside parts of the pages or parts of the book, not everywhere, they have, like, scriptures in there, but they're not King James. They have their other versions. Do you feel uncomfortable giving somebody a book maybe about somebody's life or something or what they've gone through? Do you feel uncomfortable giving a book to someone? That kind of bothers me, and I'm just trying to check out with you what you would do personally.
I would say ditto to that. I wouldn't want to give a book out with it's not King James, tell you the truth.
Even if it's just in a few parts of the book, does that bother you enough?
Well, it certainly would bother me. You know, yeah. I don't know. I might do that, but I hope somebody doesn't think I'm a compromiser, you know, because I just figure whoever did it didn't know any better.
Well, let me ask this then, because I'm having a problem, really, with this.
It depends, too, if it's doctrinal, too, you know.
Yeah. Forgot what it was now. Wait a minute. Forgot what it was, the other question. I'm just feeling, you know, people say I'm too maybe rigid or something. I'm very uncomfortable because whenever I get around these other versions, it kind of drives me nuts. I can't stand it because I know... so much of it is not the truth. And it says in the Word of God, a little leaven at the whole lump. It only takes a few things. You could take the wrong step or get the wrong thoughts or whatever. And the enemy can use even one of these so-called scriptures out of these corrupted versions, and he could just use some of that. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely, I understand that.
Am I being too rigid or something? Because people really jump on me sometimes. They're saying I'm judgmental and these people don't know any better, and they're writing these books. But the way I look at it kind of is that, well, if somebody's writing a book, and I question, well, how come they don't realize these other versions are dangerous? Why can't they understand that? Why are they using other versions in their book? And so that kind of disturbs me because it's hard to kind of trust somebody if you don't know where they're at, why they're allowing that.
Let me answer that, why they're doing it. This is a spiritual battle. And Jesus says, he gives some reasons for that. For one thing, it says, you love the honor that comes from one another, therefore you cannot hear my words. Emotionally and in their heart, they can't hear the truth because of what their friends say, and they know what their friends are saying. Jesus says, you love the honor comes from one another, therefore you cannot hear my words. Now, one of the things Jesus has said is, he says that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you.
Right.
Now, that's to the apostles, but He says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth,
right,
and he will abide with you forever.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit of God will guide God's people into all truth. He will abide with them forever. And that's why, despite all the attack on the King James coming from seminaries,
yeah,
and preachers and so on, the Holy Spirit in God's people are guiding them into truth.
Right.
And when the Lord says it's all truth, it's not partial truth.
Yeah.
I am outraged. I think it's an abomination what these preachers are doing on radio and television.
I do too.
They say this saying, the Greek says, the better reading says, this is an unfortunate translation. They don't give you one shred of evidence. They act absolutely dogmatic about it. And you, somebody might say, well, you guys just got a little cult going of your own. Absolutely not. I mean, I remember Dr. Alfred Martin was a teacher of mine at Moody Bible Institute, and he was a strong promoter of the King James. He was executive vice president of Moody back there at that time when I went there. And then Spurgeon brought this up, and we've read what Spurgeon said about it. And he criticized Bible correctors and called them popelings. They're acting like popes, and that they become the final authority. And so they're at one time I hear them program, and they say, well, people aren't trusting in the Bible anymore, and then they're correcting it. And they don't give you one shred of evidence. You're just supposed to drop your Holy Bible and believe what they say, see?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I'm having a problem. Like, I was going to give some people this magazine, but there's different, well, I don't like to call them scriptures because they're not really the King James, but I just get very uneasy, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't even give this to them because I'll be responsible if it leads them astray in some way because the enemy's trying to deceive. I mean, that's all he does anyway. He's a liar and the father of lies, and so he, you know, he, all these people are walking around with these things that aren't the King James, and I don't know. I'm just really troubled over this, and I'm thinking maybe, let me ask this, okay? There's just something I was going to send somebody, and it's a magazine, and it's Christian material in there, but they got, like I said, there's some things in there. It's not King James. I don't think I could give it to them, because even if there's one so-called scripture in there that is not King James, a little leaven at the whole lump, right?
That's true.
So,
see, let me give you a little background here. See, what we're objecting to, God gave his words.
Right.
And first comes, these people start saying over and over and over, you can't understand these and those. Now, I don't understand.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I say so, too. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
And then they recommend a modern translation, but they have changed. It's not coming from the text that the apostles of Christ wrote. And the text that they wrote, we have copies of it, and it's over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts and the church fathers. And we can prove this. Even people, I read books by all sides, and even people that I don't even know that are Christians, they admit to this almost. And so the modern ones are based on less than 1% of the manuscripts, and they're called the Alexandrian text.
Mm-hmm.
And they disagree with each other. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus disagree with each other in thousands of places, and they're Constantine's Bibles. And so it's such a serious thing, and I personally believe that God raised up this program to inform Christians and to tell them where they can get information on this, because it's so important. The last words of Jesus, he says, if you add to this, there's a curse on you, or if
right.
you take away from it.
Right.
And so, you know, the way that we come on, and I've never ceased to be amazed, is somebody just invited me to come on the radio and gave me free time on a station. And since that time, it has just gone, it just climbed, and it's gone worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we've been on we got over 1,000 hits on our website. That's God that did that, you know,
Amen.
Because he wants God's people to be informed.
He does.
But the Holy Spirit
he does.
Of God, who is alive and he's powerful, he is witnessing to the true text. And even people who don't know anything about this subject, they seem in their heart that the King James is the word of God. So every generation it comes back. The other ones, the NIV sold 200,000 copies with all kinds of millions of dollars of advertising. The King James has now had put out 5 billion copies.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit says, the Word of God says, the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And it stood in the original, in the text that have come down to us that the King James translators used, but it stands in the King James Bible. And today we have the perfect word of God.
Amen.
And I thank you for calling. I thank all of you for listening. Pray for us.
Yeah.
And that God will speak to people's hearts. And the word of God tells us that salvation is in Jesus Christ. He paid for all of your sins. You can say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. I believe you are God. You died for me, and you will go to heaven when you die. And you'll meet God in joy without any record that you've ever sinned. Where do we find it? We find it in the true word of God.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.